striking oil workers say to the French government, no fuel for you.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Motorists across France are lining up at gas stations, some of which are out of fuel, and aviation authorities are telling some pilots to make sure they have enough fuel to get back where they came from. It's all because strikers are blocking access to refineries and oil depots. And for more on this, we're joined now live from London by Marketplace's Europe Bureau Chief Stephen Beard. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
Well, Stephen, tell us, what are they fighting about this time? What is the strike about?
The workers are protesting against the government's plan to improve the public finances, cut the budget deficit by raising the official minimum retirement age from 60 to 62. And the full retirement age from 65 to 67. By European standards, this is a fairly modest reform, but many French people, in fact, most French people, regard this as a betrayal. And in typical French fashion, they've taken to the barricades.
Aha. Uh-huh. And how bad do you think this can get?
Well, quite a bit worse, I think. The unions have called for another day of protest tomorrow, along with another national strike, the fourth in the past 2 months. And this is specifically aimed at stopping the final passage of the pension reform bill through the French legislature on Wednesday. The government is standing firm. It's pressing ahead with the bill. But because of the action against the oil refineries, the fuel situation is getting quite serious. And an oil industry group now says that there could be serious supply problems by the middle of this week. And the government may have to tap the emergency reserve. So this clearly is crunch week for the French government and its budget deficit cutting efforts.
OK, Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks.
OK, Jeremy.
Apple will report its quarterly earnings today, so we'll be waiting to see how many millions of iPads and iPhones and everything else were sold. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joins us live with a preview of that. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, Mitchell, it seems like most of what we've been hearing about Apple in the last few months has been pretty good. What do the numbers say?
Well, analysts predicted Apple earned a little north of $4 a share. That'd be up 50% from last year. You know, everything is selling like crazy for them. The new iPhone 4, Mac laptops, and of course, the new iPad tablet computer. Apple's actually having trouble getting enough off the assembly lines. Carl Howe, technology analyst at the Yankee Group, told me that is rare.
In the past year, they created an entirely new billion-dollar market in 60 days. I don't think it's ever been done in history before. I think the way they go about that is they make things that are very, I would call them lust-worthy, the things that consumers want.
Well, Mitchell, we always hear the good news about Apple. Is there anything rotten about this company right now?
Well, like I said, they are having trouble making enough iPads and iPhones. I guess that's sort of a problem. Walmart will start selling iPads, and it seems likely there'll soon be an iPhone for Verizon. So all of that will put pressure on their pipeline. Investors will be looking today to see if Apple was able to make and sell enough to beat analyst expectations, as they usually do, or if the earnings just hit the mark, which could disappoint Wall Street a little.
Well, two pretty good choices anyway. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And in addition to Apple, investors are going to be watching Citigroup and IBM, which also report earnings today. Around the globe, stocks are mixed so far. European stocks are up slightly, Asian stocks are down, and the Dow lost a bit of ground on Friday. It'll start today at 11,062 when markets open in New York.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. Coverage of the economy is supported in part by the Schuman Center for Media and Democracy.
We're going to check back in now with someone we've been following since the early days of the Great Recession, Christopher Maraldi, who lost his job as a banker on Wall Street in 2008.
What did they tell you?
Basically that, you know, the bank, there were losses and that my job was being eliminated. I asked twice if it was performance related and they said no.
After 20 years working in finance, Maraldi decided to give other things a try. He spent some time teaching English overseas and he even did some work for the Census Bureau, all the while sending out resumes to financial companies and not hearing much back. Until now.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good.
Come on
good
in.
To see you.
Come on in.
I stopped by his New York apartment last week, and he told me that after 2.5 years of unemployment, He's just taken a job at a bank in Singapore.
Singapore is a smaller market, and right now the opportunities in New York are just not there. It's hard to get back in. But when I had interviewed with them, it was all done by phone, and it was very, I have to say, it reminded me of the way things used to be in banking, just very much focused on the market. And what I liked about them is they told me the difficulties of the job. And I thought that was really honest because, you know, I said I could trust these people. At least they're reasonable.
Almost every time I've spoken with you, you've said basically that Wall Street has not learned the lessons of the financial crisis in 2008. 2 years later, have they learned their lessons?
No, absolutely not, no. Nothing has changed other than the fact that the market is not there. If they could continue to sell assets that were, as I'll quote Lloyd Blankfein, where there's appetite for these assets, the appetite has stopped. That's why they don't produce them. But they were the ones that marketed these assets.
You've been in finance for how many years now altogether?
I started in 1987, right, as the first, well, in my lifetime, was the first crash in 87.
So more than 20 years.
Yes.
What advice would you have for somebody who's getting into finance this year, the recent college grads that are getting out of school and going right to the big firms on Wall Street?
Follow your heart. If you're really good in other, well, it's probably too late for them because they've already got a degree in finance. But if you're only doing it for the money, that's not all there is.
All right. Well, Chris Maraldi, thanks so much and good luck in Singapore.
Thank you.
And you can hear our previous interviews with Chris Maraldi at marketplace.org. Finally, to Mexico City, which has made an industry out of breaking world records, residents of Iztapalapa have cooked up the world's biggest enchilada. It's 230 feet long. The city also holds the record, by the way, for most people kissing simultaneously and most people dancing to Michael Jackson's Thriller. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
American Public Media.
Here's a choice: climate change versus high unemployment, a green tech future versus fossil fuels, new jobs versus old.
Don't create green jobs at the expense of already existing manufacturing jobs in the state.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Jobs or a greener world? You choose. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.